Well, I wonder, what are you looking forward to in the future? What are you looking forward to in the future? We all look forward to something. Maybe a wedding that's coming up. It could be the birth of a child or a grandchild. It could be a special celebration that's happening over the next year. It could be seeing loved ones happy and content in life. You might be looking forward to retirement or recovery from an illness. You might be looking forward to finding a house and settling down. We look forward all the time. Finishing a piece of work, finishing marking papers, passing an exam, completing a building project. We look forward to the weekend. We look forward to seeing friends. We look forward to a new film that's being released. Or we look forward to sporting fixtures taking place. We look forward all the time. But what about the end? Are you looking forward to it? Are you looking forward to the end? And what are you looking forward to? In our passage today, we are going on a journey from the here and now to the very end, as God tells us what we have to look forward to. We're continuing in this short parable series and looking at the next few parables in Matthew chapter 13. The focus is on the parable of the wheat and the weeds or tares. And slip between the parable and its explanation are two shorter parables, that of the mustard seed and the yeast. And it continues from last week's parable of the sower, where we thought about division, where some harden their hearts to God's word, others receive the word of God, hearing, understanding, and bearing fruit. This week, the parables take us to the end of the age and the consequences for those with hard hearts or those who have listened to God. And as the passage was read, I hope you noticed a recurring line: the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we're going to think about three areas of the kingdom of heaven as we look forward to the future. So what is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, it's a place where good seed is already being planted. Good seed is already being planted. It's a place that is difficult to imagine, and it's a place only for people of the kingdom. So firstly, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, it's a place where good seed is already being planted. So before the crowds, Jesus tells three more parables. The kingdom of heaven is like, he starts, a man sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone is sleeping, his enemy comes and sowed weeds around the wheat and then leaves. When the wheat sprouts and formed ears, the weeds also appear. Now, it sounds a little bit strange, farming sabotage, but this wasn't uncommon. Remember, Jesus tells parables or stories which the crowd would have been familiar with. In a culture where farming was so normal, one of the problems was falling out with someone who then wanted to destroy your crop as an act of revenge. And it was so much of a problem that there was even a Roman law against it. We might think, well, it's only a few weeds. Where's the harm? But the word weeds is very likely to be darnel, which is a weed that initially looks very similar to wheat. It's only noticeably different when the head has grown and you see black grains. In large quantities, it can be even poisonous to both humans and animals. And these weeds were not sporadic, some here, some there. These weeds were placed all among the good seed. The word among in the passage means they were sown throughout and close to each good seed. And so the obvious thing might be to pull out the weeds, get rid of the weeds. But notice this wasn't directed. So in verse 27, the servants come and ask the owner, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "Well, an enemy did this," he replied. "So shall we pull the weeds out?" Verse 29, "No. By pulling out the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat with them." The wheat is good seed and important. Pulling up the weed might pull up the wheat too, especially if the roots are connected. And as they look so similar initially, you might accidentally pull the wheat out. The owner says, "Leave them and let them grow together." And verses 37 to 39 over the page tell us what that important detail means. Well, the Son of Man, a reference to Jesus in verse 39, is the owner of the field, which is the world, we're told. He is the one who sowed good seed. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom, for those who believe in Jesus. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the devil himself has placed the weeds. In the news this week, you probably heard about the incredible secret government mission in Australia to save the ancient pine trees from the current bushfires. Anyone else hear that story? A few of you, one at the back, an Australian. Thought to have been standing since the dinosaurs, the government did all they could to protect these special trees. So large air tankers of fire retardant were dropped inside the remote grove as part of the mission, with specialist firefighters attached to the helicopters. They were winched down to set up an irrigation system to protect the trees from catching a light. An incredible mission to protect these trees. These trees have been saved and they continue to be protected for centuries to come. For those here this morning following Jesus, known as the people of the kingdom, we are a protected people. Yes, we are left among the weeds, but no one is pulling us out or taking us away from the kingdom until Jesus, the Son of Man, says so. Let that truth flood your heart with great assurance this morning. No one is uprooting you until Jesus, the Son of Man, comes back and says so. You have been planted by God and will only be lifted up when Jesus gives the command. And I find that greatly comforting. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that life is a bed of roses. Far from it, the weeds are everywhere. We are surrounded. But your identity is in Christ. You are not a weed, you are wheat. And God calls us to stand out as wheat, as people of the kingdom. Yes, there are weeds everywhere. There is something that doesn't feel right. It is hard while we live among the weeds. But isn't that why we enjoy church? Christians look forward to church, or they should do. Fellowship with each other is so encouraging. Your 242 groups, when you get together, are so encouraging. Being with wheat feels great because it's a foretaste of the reality of the kingdom of heaven. We need each other when there are so many weeds about. We need to encourage each other. Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So firstly, the kingdom of heaven is a place where good seed has already been planted. Secondly, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, it's a place that is difficult to imagine. In verses 31 to 33, two further parables are told to the crowd by Jesus. Mustard seed and wheat. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't explain the meaning of either of these as such. He simply says the kingdom of heaven is like. Loads has been written about both these parables, but I think the pictures they are presenting are probably fairly simple. And placed where they are by Matthew, they seem to show what happens between the beginning, the seed being sown, and the end. The interim is the growth. So, verse 31, the mustard seed. A man took and planted a mustard seed in his field. Now, this is a very small seed, but when it grows, who would believe it? It's one of the largest garden plants, a tree no less, which birds can use to perch on. Isn't that an incredible picture of growth? Essentially, we might not look much now. People might say, well, the church, what church? Christians have had their day. We know better now. And so we look small. We look insignificant. But in the end, we are going to be completely overwhelmed at the size of the kingdom of heaven. It will be huge, bigger than anything else. And all those who mocked, all those who belittled what the church looks like today will be standing with their mouths wide open. How great and how impressive the kingdom of heaven is. Well, that's the mustard seed. What about yeast in verse 33? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and she mixed it into about 30 kilograms of flour. And it worked through all the dough. Do you know, I've made bread before, and yeast is quite remarkable. The way it slowly works through the whole of the dough, taking something that is dense and transforming it into a risen loaf. And the key is that it's a secret work, hidden, quietly, busy, hard at work, unable to be seen. Yet again, incredible growth is taking place. God working in our hearts. Last weekend, we went to the Into shopping centre, an experience I hope not to repeat too often. And we walked around the centre amongst other people. And as you walk around, do you know what makes you look different? It's nothing. You just look like everyone else. There is no difference or visible difference to look at. It's true, even as we walk out of church, we dress and look very similar to, well, everyone else. But on the inside, within our hearts, a change is taking place. In our lives, we are being changed from one degree of glory to another, to be more like the Lord Jesus. Steady growth is happening all the time. Every difficulty we face, every time of joy, every Bible study, every time of prayer, helping us to grow, to be more like Jesus. We might not look much, but God is working, both inside and outside. Outside, as he draws more to himself. Think about it. God started with the disciples, then some Jewish converts, then to the Gentiles, the world, and us here in Derby. That is huge growth. I wonder how many other believers were in the shopping centre with me last weekend. I've no idea. It could have been 50, maybe 100. There are more believers in this city than are here in this church this morning. You know, I recently heard the biggest rate of conversion, and I was shocked, is in Iran. We are going to be amazed at the numbers in the end. We might face mocking from people. Why would we join you? You look so small. Do you really believe God is at work? You look unimpressive. Your waiting will come to nothing. But we patiently wait, and the climax will silence these mockers. Be encouraged that God is at work. What is the kingdom of heaven like? A place that is difficult to imagine now, but the final growth will blow our minds. And finally, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, it is a place only for people of the kingdom. Notice first that Jesus, in verse 36 of the passage, after finishing these three parables, we're told he left the crowd and goes to his house with his disciples and most likely other believers. His parable teaching to the crowd is over for now. And just before this, in verse 34, Jesus confirms that he only spoke to these crowds in parables. We thought about that last week, fulfilling the words of the prophet Asaph from Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. The crowds have received all that they are getting. The disciples come again to Jesus. Tell us what this means. So verse 39. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are now pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Jesus will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. The people are the evil one of the devil. Will be thrown into the blazing furnace, a fire where the noise heard will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous, however, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, in his kingdom in heaven. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And it sounds like such a stark contrast, doesn't it? And it is. The kingdom of a burning furnace doesn't sound attractive in the slightest. the reaction of crying and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound pleasant. It's not meant to be winsome. And we can't relate to it very easily, can we? It sounds more like a horror movie or something. And if we strip it back, then it will be a place of continued evil and sin. Take all the bad things now, and they will just be even worse. There will be no good. There will be no comfort. There will be no peace. Nothing we enjoy now will be there. That still sounds a truly awful place. But there is something else, something so much better. The righteous will shine like the sun, reflecting the very glory of God in the kingdom of their Father. And the key to receiving that is if you can call yourself a child of God, a child of the living God, one who has been purchased by the blood of his precious Son, who died for our sins and rose again, and is now reigning in the kingdom at the right hand of his Father and our heavenly Father. Can you confidently say that you're part of God's family? Are you looking forward to shining like the sun in the kingdom of your Father? Let me tell you, that will be a glorious day and something we should all be looking forward to. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're at East Midlands Airport and waiting to check in with your luggage. And it's a busy flight. In the peak of summer, there are people everywhere. You're in a queue that twists and turns, and you know it's going to be a long wait. And you're waiting to check in. Right next to you is another queue of twists and turns with another check-in desk for another destination. It's a typical airport scene. But your queue gradually goes down, and you check in, you go through security, you go through the departure lounge, you board your plane, and then you fly off into the sunset. Bliss. The other queue are still waiting to check in. They see the flight board appear with the message, flight cancelled, and your dream holiday has just started crumbling. All other flights are full. Your travel company is closed and no one's answering the phone. Your children are whining. Your pulse is racing with the stress. The break you so desperately needed and saved so hard for is over. Which queue are you in? I think the outcomes are obvious. Are you a wheat or are you a weed? What are you facing as you look forward today? Is it the glorious kingdom of heaven? Or is it somewhere very different? And I made this point last week, but at one point, we were all weeds, all of us. And yet God in his grace and through his word worked in our hearts, revealing to us the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. There is hope for all of us to be saved when we call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The Lord showed compassion to sinners like Judas, to Peter, to those committing adultery, and on us. And we are to keep showing the same to all that we meet, no matter where they are today. What is the kingdom of heaven like? It's a place where good seed is already being planted. What great assurance we have. It's a place that is difficult to imagine, and it will be far bigger and more powerful than we could ever think. And it's a place only for the people of the kingdom. So let's keep sharing God's love and his glorious good news while there is still time to come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can look forward to such a glorious future with you as our Saviour. We thank you that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Lord, what a wonderful picture that we will reflect your very glory, O God. Please help us to look forward to that. In the midst of all that we're going through now, may we look forward, we pray, to the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we pray very much for those who haven't yet made that decision and wouldn't yet call themselves one of your children, that they do not yet call you their Father in heaven. We pray, we plead with you, Lord, please work in their hearts, as you did in our hearts one day, that they too may bow to you as Lord and Saviour. In your name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.